take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 14 through 18. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. And let's finish on verse 18 together. Ready? Then answered one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do in this place. Lord, it sure is exciting to know that when we show up here, your presence will be here. Sure is good to know that we have a man of God that has sought your face this week and every day, and you have seemed to smile upon him. Father, may we not take it for granted. May we listen well. May we listen to the wisdom that you've given him to help us. May you change our future tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I want to talk to you about a subject that I wish would be more interesting to you than I fear it's going to be. I want to talk to you about the subject of prudence. My staff will often ask this question. They'll say, "But Owens, what could I do to help you more?" I think if I could help the staff to develop this thing that's called prudence. If there's something I'd love for my children to get in this sermon tonight, I'd like to think that my children could develop some more prudence in their life. In a moment, you'll understand why. I see many leaders that they just lack some foresight and some insight in how they handle themselves and how they lead. Leaders that poorly calculate the outcome of their actions or poorly calculate their direction and the results of their direction. And I wish that we could become more prudent in matters. Now, I'm not going to be real dynamic this evening. Again, I'm going to teach you, and it's going to be kind of a line upon line, precept upon precept. I'll teach you a point about prudence, and then a second, and then a third. I cannot desire this for you. You'll have to desire it for yourself. I do desire that you desire it, though. I wish that you would want to get this thing called prudence in your life. I fear for you. I watch some of you, and you're good people, and you're decent people. But I see you have a lack of something, and you don't make your decisions wisely. And I think if you could get this thing called prudence, it would help you. I call the sermon Prudent in Matters. As we read earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 16, there's a story that goes along with the passage that you read. Saul was the king. He stood head and shoulders above all the other people in the kingdom. He was a big man, and he was a victorious man in the heyday of his reign. But Saul turned his back on God. He chose his own discretion over obeying God's commands, and he kind of logic through a few leadership decisions instead of just obeying what God told him to do. And listen, human logic will never take the place of obedience to God. Sometimes we think, well, God, now listen to me. I've got an angle on this thing. God doesn't care about your angle. God cares about your obedience. And so we've just got to learn to obey God. Saul was a leader. He was a strong leader. He was a great leader. But he got to thinking that his logic would suffice, and he chose to go down a couple of paths that he shouldn't have, and he did some things he shouldn't have. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. You say, well, that dog, they should never let that happen. Well, listen to me. me. Not everybody has the privilege of ever saying that the Spirit of the Lord was upon them. He might be sealed in you because you're saved, but as far as His power anointing you in a mighty way, maybe it's never happened at all. I thank God that Saul, at a point in his life, was filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was upon him, as it would say in the Old Testament. But God did say, I'm retracting myself. He did not lose His salvation. You don't lose your salvation. But you can lose the power of God. You can lose the influence that God makes available to you. And that's what began to happen. Saul developed a bad spirit. He began to develop a bad attitude about things. And then Saul said, I would like for somebody to come and play the harp for me, because I think good music would soothe this bad spirit that has developed in my life. And one of Saul's servants said, I know just the guy. There's a fellow by the name of David. He's one of Jesse's sons. And then this servant of David, or of Saul, begins to describe David to Saul. And he says this about him. He said, he's an excellent musician. He then said, he's a mighty man. He then said, he is a valiant man. He then said, he's a man of war. And then he followed it by saying, he's a comely person. I think he was saying, he's a likable person. I mean, if you hear that someone is a warrior, you might think that they would be rough and gruff all the time. But here's a warrior that was a great musician, could play the harp well enough to calm the king. But he was a great warrior, and he was a comely man. Then the Bible says, and the Lord is with him. Now, Saul knows something about that, because the Lord had been with Saul, and now God has retracted his blessing to a degree from Saul. And now Saul is being told, the guy that could help you through your attitude problem or your spirit problem is a guy that the Lord is upon him. But then it also says there, as this servant of Saul is describing David, he says that David is prudent in matters. Prudent in matters. Just a little statement in there. Maybe the least most attractive description given. I mean, excellent musician and mighty man and valiant man, a man of war. The Lord is with him. You say, well, I'd like to have all those ingredients. Prudent in matters. Sounds kind of boring, doesn't it? Prudent in matters. So what? I think maybe one of the greatest compliments given to David was that little thing that he was prudent in matters. You see, because that young man named David is the one who follows Saul as the next king. And I believe one of the reasons why David becomes the next king is because he was prudent in matters. He had prudence about him. See, prudence provides you with promotion from God. If you can learn spiritual prudence, God can provide promotion in your life. You say, boy, I'd like to be in the presence of the right people so they can promote me. If you get in the presence of the right person, God, with the right qualities like prudence, God can promote you. Do you know that it is God that promotes kings, puts kings up, and pulls kings down? It is God. And I see a quality here in this young man named David. He was prudent in matters. Now, I think I could even describe to you a little bit about where I see some of that prudence. Now, I'm going to tell you all about what prudence is in just a moment. But prudence has something to do with being able to look out and calculate the outcome of things to a degree. It's a spiritual wisdom or foresight that tells you, well, watch on the horizon there and make your moves cautiously, because what you do is going to affect your life, and you're going to want to be careful in how you make your decisions. Now, David was prudent in matters. He had some insight. He had some wisdom about him as a young man. For instance, you know about the battle between David and Goliath. Goliath was a great, big, huge man, I think well over 9 foot tall. He was a monster of a man. He was a Philistine. He had been defying God's army. He had defied Saul. And he made such a big deal, this Goliath, and he was mocking and teasing God and God's people and King Saul, the leader. And David came along. He was just a young man. And David comes along and says, somebody needs to shut this dirtbag up. And David said, somebody needs to take care of this fella. And you know the story. David ends up fighting Goliath, and David is called a lad. He's a very young man, and David takes his sling. The Bible says he's got a bag, and in his, it's like an ammo bag, and in his bag he's got five smooth stones, and he takes those five smooth stones and his slingshot. He goes out onto the battlefield with this great, big, humongous warrior of a man named Goliath. He puts one smooth stone in his slingshot. He whirls the stone at Goliath, hits him right between the eyes. He downs Goliath, cuts off his head, and Goliath is, he's history. Now, you say, well, where is prudence in that? Let me show you something. I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 17. You don't have to read it. You don't have to turn to it. But I'm going to read something to you. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 39 and 40, the Bible says, "And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him." Now what happened is Saul, right before David goes to battle with Goliath, Saul offers David Saul's armor. But David says, I don't know how to fight in this armor. This is not how I go to battle. So he takes all the armor off. And then in verse 40 it says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag that he had, even in a scrip." Now, here's what happened. David was about to go to battle. And when David goes out to go to battle, he does not use Saul's armor. David knows he's about to go to battle. David knows he's about to face this great big monster of a man named Goliath. And Saul says, "Take my armor." David said, "I don't want your armor." He gets him five smooth stones. Now, here's the thing. When David goes out to fight Goliath, he only uses one stone. He throws one stone. That one stone hits Goliath right between the eyes, and down goes Goliath, and the battle's over. So we ask ourselves, why in the world would David pick up five smooth stones? Does David figure that maybe he's going to miss? Does David figure that all that practice, he wouldn't be right on target? Was he not going to hit the bullseye? Oh, no, not at all. You see David having a little insight here when he goes into a big battle. And let me show you why David picked up five stones. I'm going to read to you, if I could please, from 2 Samuel chapter 21. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 21 and 22, listen to this. It says, "And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants." You see, Goliath had four brothers, the Bible teaches. And when it was time for David to go to battle with Goliath, David knew that Goliath had four brothers. Now, you know, it's a pretty common thing that if you go out and beat up one brother, you might have to fight the other four. David already knew that Goliath had four brothers. That's why David picked up five stones. David was not afraid that he wouldn't hit the bullseye. He figured he might have to hit five bullseyes in a row, and it's pretty hard to load up your sling unless you have all the ammo you need. He didn't pick up six. He did not pick up four. He did not pick up one. He wasn't afraid he'd miss and need an extra shot. He didn't think that maybe one would run. He said, "There are five brothers. I may have to fight all five brothers. I know for sure I'll fight one, but I have enough insight. I have enough prudence to say, I better get me five stones in my ammo belt when it's time to go to war." That's prudence. That's foresight. Now, we ask ourselves, what exactly is this thing called prudence? Proverbs 22, verse number 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Prudence is a quality that helps you to see how you could hurt yourself or how you could hurt someone else, and you learn to live your life so you are spiritually safe, and those around you are spiritually safe. A prudent dad looks out and says, "I need to be careful with my family as I make this decision, because when I make this decision, I could hurt me. I could hurt my wife. I could hurt my kids. I've got to make the right decision." So he's prudent. prudent about the evil that's out there in the future. He takes the time to examine his decisions so his decisions keep him safe and all those that he loves safe. Prudence is the ability to detect patterns of behavior even in yourself that would be contrary to the Word of God. Many people don't have prudence. You will not face yourself. You will not face the poor patterns of life that you are developing. Therefore, you keep hurting yourself and you keep hurting the people around you. You need to get some prudence so that you detect even in yourself your own weaknesses. Prudence are their patterns of behavior in other people. If a man's prudent, he begins to see patterns of behavior in other people, and he tries to help them so they don't hurt themselves and they don't hurt the people around them. Prudence may be the ability to detect possible pitfalls in life, and then you learn to avoid them. Prudence is kind of the ability to be a spiritual troubleshooter. You know, you see what could come and you're careful in how you make your decision in regard to it. Now, the prudent person may not always know what the trouble is, but he's at least able to speculate some of the possible trouble, and he prepares himself so he can properly solve the problem. And let me tell you something, folks. One of the best ways in the world to solve a problem is before it gets here. It's one of the best ways. Too many of you, and I worry about you, you just wake up and you find yourself in a mess. Had you had a little insight or a little prudence, you wouldn't have found yourself in such a mess. A prudent man plays it spiritually safe, and he is careful how he makes his decisions. A prudent person is one who wisely calculates as much of the future as is humanly possible. You say, Brother Owen, nobody knows the future. Oh, yes, they do. God does. Right. And the Bible over and over again predicts your future. God says, you do this, this is going to happen. You go down this path, this is what will happen. You obey this way, and I'll bless you. You disobey, and I won't bless you. A prudent man says, I believe God's prediction about the future. A prudent man says, I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to have the future in mind. I'm not just going to do what I want to do and worry about reaping later. No. A prudent man believes Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you have a lack of prudence, you see, you just live your life, and then you worry about the reaping process later. But a prudent man said, I don't want to reap bad. I don't want bad to come into my life. I don't want to reap to the flesh. I want to reap to the Spirit, you see. Oh, we need prudence. We need to get far more concerned about how we make our decisions. We need to desire this thing called prudence where we can look at life, and when we make a decision, we want to see, how will that decision affect my future? Hey, if you had your children in Martinsburg Christian Academy this year, and you say, I'm about to make a decision, will my children go to the Christian school next year or not? You better get you some prudence real fast. You better figure out how that's going to affect your child's future. And hey, you better stop and realize, if you put your kids in the wrong kind of school, they may meet the wrong kind of boy or girl and fall in love with the wrong kind of boy or girl and marry the wrong kind of boy or girl, and you may be choosing your child's future mate. That is being prudent in your decisions. When you withhold the tithe that God has commanded that you give, you better stop. You better get some prudence. You better make sure that you're obedient to God and think about how that might affect you. Do you realize that when you're faithful to God, there is a chain reaction of financial blessing that will take place? But when you withhold what you owe God, there is a chain reaction of a retracted blessing that will take place. You better get prudent real quick on how you make your decisions. We need prudence. We need prudence. Let me tell you this. Prudence and wisdom are friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. That word dwell there means live. Prudence and wisdom are best friends, and they live together. Prudence and wisdom live in the same dwelling. You say, what's that dwelling? I hope it's in your heart or in your will. I hope you have a will, and I hope in your will you see the necessity to have wisdom and the necessity of being prudent in how you make your decisions. If you lack wisdom, you probably lack prudence. If you lack prudence, you probably lack wisdom, because they always work together. You say, well, Brother Owens, what exactly is wisdom? I think wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. And prudence is the ability to use that wisdom to avoid the pitfalls of life. You look out and you say, I better watch out. I've got to stay on track. Prudence has something to do with wisdom and your insight and making wise decisions. I have to tell you this. An old Wild West fort is about to be attacked. The old general sends for his trusty Indian scout, an Indian with much wisdom. You must use all your 30 years of skill and experience to estimate what we're up against, the general tells the Indian. The trusty Indian scout laid down and put his ear to the ground. And he said, heap big war party coming. Maybe 300 braves about to attack. Four chiefs. He got his ear to the ground. He says, two chiefs on black stallions. Two chiefs on white stallions. All the enemy have war paint on. Many, many guns. Many guns. Medicine man with them. Good grief, the general said. Goodness. I mean, you can tell me all of that just by kneeling down and putting your ear to the ground? She said, no. I looked under the front gate. He was looking out underneath that gate, and he could see what he was predicting. You want to know something? There's a little bit of that available to you. Sometimes we just make decisions, folks, but we're not counting the cost. We're not looking at how that decision is going to affect our family, our husbands, our wives, our children, our ministry. I've watched men run out and get jobs and not give one iota of thought to how it's going to affect their church attendance.
Right.
How it's going to affect their children. How it's going to affect that they're never going to see their children do anything in school. How it's going to affect, I just made a decision. Oh, you need some prudence about your decisions. We make a lot of decisions. My wife in her Sunday school class, if any of you girls have ever been in the sixth grade girls' Sunday school class, almost every week of that class, Mrs. Owens talks to the girls about this. She says, life is made up of decisions. And folks, that's what your life is. Your life is primarily made up of decisions. And think about it. What do you do all day long, every day? You decide what to wear, where to go, who to be with, what to say, what to listen to, when to get up, where to turn, where not to turn, when to walk, where to sit. Your life is full of decisions. And folks, decisions are important. Every decision you make is a direction in your life. You've got to get some insight and some prudence, so don't just let life happen to you. Get some insight and say, I want to be prudent in matters. Be like David. David reached down. He knew he was going to war. He picked up five stones. He knew he had to fight Goliath. But he said to himself, but you know something? He's got four brothers. And this decision I'm about to make, I may be taking on the whole five of them. I've got to be ready for this. He counted the cost. And I think one of the reasons why David was anointed the next king is because David had some insight. And he wanted to make good decisions. He was prudent in matters. Prudence and wisdom are friends. Number three, a prudent person disciplines their temper. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. You ever heard someone talk about blind rage? I was just mad and I was blind to what I was doing. Now, you listen to me. If you don't control your temper, you will not be prudent. Because temper is blinding. Wrath is blinding. Anger is blinding. Some of the worst decisions that people in this building have made, you made them when you were angry. You were angry with God, or angry with your husband, or angry with your wife, or angry with your boss, or just angry in life, and that rage that came upon you, somehow it virtually blinds the eyes of prudence, and so you don't make good decisions. When we're angry, we launch out and we do things without thinking about what it's going to cost us. When you're angry, you launch out and you do something without thinking about how, what's the chain reaction involved here? What's going to happen to me when I do this? Temper and rage and wrath are very, very blinding. They blind the eyes of prudence. And the Bible says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. That word wrath there is talking about your temper or your uncontrolled anger. Hey, it says there that the fool's wrath or his temper is presently known. In other words, it's publicly found out. Some of you that live in apartments or you live in quarters close to maybe the house next door, the house trailer next door, you didn't think anybody knows, but people know that you can't control your temper. They hear you yelling and screaming at each other. They know it, because a fool's wrath is presently known. It'll be publicly known sooner or later. You'll only conceal it so long. And God says, you better get some prudence. You need to get that under control. You see, a prudent person has learned to control their temper, therefore not revealing a weakness that would bring shame to them. Prudence. You better let me help you with your temper. Some of you need to foresee what makes you angry and learn how to deal with it so you're not losing your temper all the time. What is it that makes you angry? What is it? And I'm not condoning your anger. I'm telling you to get some foresight into the weakness of your temper and decide what you could do to bypass that temper. Get some prudence about yourself. See that danger, how your temper hurts yourself and hurts your testimony, hurts your wife or hurts your kids, and say to yourself, all right, I've got that problem. I want to be prudent about this. I foresee it. Now I'm going to figure out a way to handle it, or figure out a way to take care of it. Some of you, you need to calm yourself before you make decisions. You're not prudent in your decision making because you're prone to temper, so you make a lot of bad decisions. You've got to get it under control. I had a friend, one day he was working on his lawnmower, and he was having a hard time getting it just wouldn't start. You pull on that cord, and you pull on that cord, and he tried everything he knew, and he got all wound up, and he got angry. He told me, he said, I had some tools there. He said, I took the adjustable wrench, and he said, I slammed that lawnmower in the head. He said, and I had a hammer there, and I cracked it again, and I slammed it around. He said, I still couldn't get it started, so he said, I picked it up, and he said, I threw it against the garage door. He said, I felt victorious. He said, until I looked on the porch and I seen my little boy cowering in the corner with his eyes wide open. He had just seen his dad attack an inanimate object. You see, that he didn't realize the impact that that temper was going to have on the people around him. And the Bible says a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man learns how to control his anger. Many bad decisions will come because you're angry. You listen to me. Even if, because of your bitterness, you're angry with someone, you can sell yourself down the devil's path, down the devil's road, just because you're angry with someone else. You can get angry with someone, and before you know it, you're making all sorts of bad decisions because of your temper, your bitterness, your wrath. I tell preachers all the time, be careful you don't destroy yourself with your temper. Be careful that you don't get that bottled up inside you. Somebody mistreated you. You feel like somebody shortchanged you. You feel like somebody was rude to you or unkind to you. And then you get that little bit of vengeance or that little bit of wrath or that little bit of hatred inside there. And before long, you're making poor decisions because you're not prudent in matters. Be careful. Number four, a prudent person disciplines himself concerning confidential matters. If you want to be prudent, you need to learn to discipline yourself in regard to confidential things. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23 says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Prudent people are not blabbermouths. If you're a blabbermouth, if you just can't seem to keep your mouth from running all the time, you really don't have much prudence. One of the signs of prudence is someone that controls their words. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. Do you know that everybody doesn't have to know everything that you know? Just because you know something doesn't mean it has to become public knowledge. Some people just tell everything they know. That's not prudence. That's not good foresight. People who lack prudence talk too much. A person that's not prudent will go to the used car lot and pay way too much for a car. Why? You talk too much. You walk on the lot and they say, how much do you want to spend? And you say, well, I got $5,200. Can I tell you how much you're going to spend? $5,200 or more. You talk too much. You reveal too much. When I was growing up, my daddy told me, he said, son, your finances are your business. I don't think the people in the church need to know all about one another's finances. It's not healthy. It's not wise. You know that none of the men on staff know what the other's making. It's none of their business. I'm not going to tell them. I'm not going to tell you. We post our deacons. They know exactly what the salary package is for the entire staff. But boy, human nature gets into little things like that and get our nose into things that are not really our business. It doesn't matter anyway. Before long, we're at odds with one another. It's a prudent and a wise thing to keep certain matters confidential. And some of you need to learn that if you want to be successful in your Christian life. People who lack prudence talk too much. Hey, some of you need to teach your children to be prudent when they answer the telephone. Is your mom there? No, she's in the bathroom. You might want to teach them a little insight on what needs to be revealed and what does not need to be revealed. Hey, did you know that not everything is everybody's business? I could help some of you. Do you know that most marriages at one time or another in the history of the marriage, they have a moment of tension where they fuss some? Some have them often. But can I give you a little piece of advice? The first time that you and your mate have a fuss and a fight and you're mad at each other, don't go tell everybody. Be prudent about that. Do you realize that when you go tell everybody and your mate get it right and you're all fixed up, in the back of that person's mind, they always wonder if you're struggling with your marriage still. You don't need to tell everybody. If you need to tell someone, tell it to Jesus. If you need to tell someone, come see me. I'll help you. I already know your marriage is a mess. It's not going to be a shocker to me. I'm kidding here, but so many of you are struggling, I guess it's not funny. But we've got to learn to be prudent in matters. And the Bible says a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of the foolish proclaimeth his foolishness. Sometimes we just rattle at the mouth too much. If there's a little problem here or a little problem there for some reason, we want everybody to know about every little problem and every little negative. That's not wise. That's not prudent. That's not necessary. And it shows a lack of prudence when you're like that. So what is prudence? Prudence is akin to wisdom, and it's getting some foresight on how what you do is going to affect you and how it's going to affect others. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. And prudence and wisdom, they dwell together. And a prudent person, they get their temper under control so they're not blinded by their rage. A prudent person disciplines himself, and they don't tell everything they know. They understand how to keep certain matters confidential. Number five, a prudent person learns to do some self-analyzation. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Now the word his there is not capitalized. It's not talking about understanding God's way. It's talking about a prudent person begins to understand their own way. Do you understand your way? Let me give you some good advice. Everybody look at me. If you don't catch anything else that I say this evening, get this. There's two things I think you really ought to know in life. You ought to know the Bible and you ought to know you. You better learn you. Know thyself. Study yourself. Face yourself. Some of you lie to yourself about your condition. You'll never become prudent until you will learn you. Prudent people deny the reality of their own People that are not prudent deny the reality of their own condition. They will not face themselves. I like this. An elderly man was walking down a country lane one day and had his college-age grandson with him. And a frog jumped out. And the frog began to talk to the old man. And the frog said to the old man, "Hey, if you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful young princess." Well, the old man picked up the frog and put it in his pocket. The young college boy said, "Why did you do that? Had you kissed that frog, you would have got a young princess." And the old man said, "At my age, I'd rather have a talking frog than a young princess." Now listen, the old man knew something about himself. He had faced himself. I think one of the biggest problems that mediocre Christians face is they're not willing to face themselves. You will never become prudent in matters until you learn you. The verse says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. What it means is to understand his own way. You better spend some time asking yourselves questions like this. How and why have I spent my time? Did I waste my time? Did I get the most out of my time? Could have I accomplished more with my time? Why? Because your time is your life. There are people in this room you do not want to face yourself on those issues. There are housewives in this building. You do not want to face yourself on the issue of how are you spending your time. You will never be prudent, you will never be wise in matters until you face you. I'll say it again. Two things you ought to study in this life. One is the Bible, two is yourself. It's time for some of you to face yourself. Ask yourself a question like, how and why have I spent my money? You could become prudent. See, a prudent man with finances looks out and says, you know something? Well, I might not always have such a thriving economy. I might not always have this overtime. I might not always have this extra money. I might not always have this good paying job. I had better be careful with my money, and I'm going to make some plans. That's what a prudent man does. But one that lacks prudence, they just spend away. They don't even worry about it until the bills come at the end of the month, and then they ignore those two. A prudent person investigates themselves. They investigate how they're spending their life. They investigate how they're spending their own money. Did I waste my money? Did I get the best product for my dollar? Did I need what I bought? Is now the time to buy it? Is this the place to buy it? Is this the price for which to buy it? Someone that lacks prudence says, I'm going to buy that. I'm just going to buy that. I'm not worried about the outcome. I'm not worried about the bill at the end of the month. I'm not worried about the chain reaction of financial problems that I'm going to have. I'm just going to do it. Folks, prudence, you got to get that insight to where when you make a decision, you say, how is this going to affect tomorrow? How is it going to affect me and my wife and my kids and my Lord and my service to God? We need prudence in our decisions. Study yourself. Ask yourself, what are your limitations? Be prudent in your promises. Don't boast about what you're going to do when your limitations won't allow you to do it. I can't tell you how many people boast of, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. They're not using prudence. They couldn't do that if they wanted to. They couldn't make it happen if they wanted to. But they have not studied themselves, and they don't know themselves well enough to put proper limitations on themselves. Ask yourself this question. Preaching does this all the time. I'm trying to get you to do it to yourself. Hey, ask yourself, what are my weaknesses? Do you know your weaknesses? Are you willing to admit your weaknesses? Or are you just so scared that, I don't want anybody to know my weaknesses. I'm not going to admit any of my weaknesses. Stop. And face yourself and figure out what your weaknesses are so you can become prudent in matters and you can plan your future even calculating in your own weaknesses. That's where most of you get in trouble. You will not face yourself long enough to calculate your own weaknesses into your decisions, and therefore your own weaknesses are destroying you. You don't look at your limitations. You don't look at your weaknesses. Look. I remember my pastor, a man by the name of Al Thompson, when I was a teenage boy, I first got saved, I had so much pride in me, it was pathetic. And I remember he'd drop a hint after hint after hint, and I didn't get it. I didn't listen. I remember one day he finally said, "Jeff, your pride is going to destroy you. Now you need to stop and listen to somebody else." Boy, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I can tell you for certain from that day, I'm always on edge about my pride. I'm always trying to watch out for my pride. I know it's there. I've got to keep it in check. I got to be careful. Am I making this decision with that nasty old pride that was so prevalent when I was a 16-year-old boy? Have you done that? Have you faced you? Study your Bible and study yourself. What are your weaknesses? You'll never become prudent until you can face yourself. Are you lazy? It's nice to say it, but in a congregation this size, there are people who are lazy. I'm not talking about comparing you to the way somebody else is. I'm talking about comparing you to what you could be. Are you lazy? Or do you not want to face that? You will never make a series of good decisions in life until you figure out what your weaknesses are and you calculate those weaknesses into your decisions. Are you undependable? Are you an excuse maker? People that are not prudent are always excuse makers. They always have an excuse why they don't do what they're supposed to do. Always. They can come up with excuse after excuse after excuse. Are you an exaggerator? You exaggerate your successes? Are you a liar? There are people in here liars. They have lied so much they can't even figure out that they're a liar. They think they've got people fooled. They're the liar. You better face yourself. Are you a procrastinator? Boy, is that a big one. Always going to do it tomorrow. Going to get right with God tomorrow. Going to clean the house tomorrow. Going to straighten up the car tomorrow. Going to pay that bill tomorrow. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. You're not going to have the quality of prudence if you won't stop and face yourself. Are you a self-justifier? You can justify anything you want to do. You can figure out a way. Again, the most important things you'll study in life are the Bible and yourself. If you want to be prudent in matters, there's some things that you need to look at. One of the things you need to look at is you. Because you're a part of what causes your future problems. You better figure out what your weaknesses are. You better calculate ways of working on those weaknesses and working around those weaknesses and calculating them into the way that you live your life. Listen, I could waste money very easily. I like spending money. I don't know about you. I like spending it. So you know what I do? I stop and calculated my weakness of having money in my pocket so I don't carry money in my pocket. Most money you'll ever find me with is $60, $70. And I'm talking about when I travel around the world. Say, why? A long time ago, I faced me, I calculated my weaknesses into my decision-making process and decided if I want to make good decisions, I've got to make sure I keep me under control, so I must face what needs to be controlled. Now, have you ever had that conversation with yourself? You ever sat down and said, look, I got to work on this, 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 and this, and when I make decisions, I've always got to examine those things because those could hinder me from making good, prudent decisions. A prudent person refuses to believe everything that they hear. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:15 that the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Did you know that not everything you hear is true? Some people live so much off the cuff. I mean, if you want it, you buy it. If you want to make the decision, you make the decision. You're not prudent. You don't stop and calculate the outcome. People that lack prudence, they believe what they hear. Somebody says something, they just believe it. Have you stopped to think about how believing anything you hear might affect you? Affect somebody else? We just believe everything we hear. See, a prudent person, though, knows there might be more to the story. They are calculating about their decision. They just don't make a flippant decision. They know there are liars in life. They know there's often more than meets the eye. Boy, if somebody comes to me and they say to me, Brother Owens, did you know thus and so happened? Let me tell you what I always do. I always investigate. I always investigate. I always look into it. And to every story, there's more to it than what you might think. When Brother Owens makes some sort of a decision, I don't have to tell you everything that went into that decision, but there's been a lot of calculating going on. A whole lot of calculating going on. Why? I want to be prudent in the decisions regarding our church. I don't believe everything that I'm told. I always look into it. I investigate it a little bit. Foreseeing the possibility of misunderstanding. Way too many of you, you live off your emotions all the time. You hear something and right away you say, I can't believe that happened. Oh, that makes me mad. You will not make good decisions about your ministry, about your attitude, about your family by believing everything you hear the very moment you hear it and believing everything that you heard. You need to stop that, slow down and stop and be prudent in how you make your decisions. A prudent person is also someone that heeds reproof. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That means a prudent person listens when they're warned. Hey, even if they don't understand the warning. Do you know that if someone warns you about something and you don't understand it, that does not eliminate the danger? But a prudent person listens when they're warned. A prudent person respects someone who instructs them. A foolish person despises someone that instructs them. When I preach, there are some that rejoice while there are others that reject. When I'm giving warnings, there's always somebody that is receiving and rejoicing, and there's always somebody else rejecting. The rejecter has a lack of prudence. A prudent person, They realize that life takes a lot of twists and turns, and they're not quick about every decision that they make. I have decided that I want to be careful with everything that I decide about. You know, I wish that you could all sit in on our staff meetings and hear the smallest of decisions that we try to make in a very prudent fashion. If we're about to move somebody into a volunteer position of leadership, I'm always asking myself this question. Now, is there somebody else that might need that position? Well, what's that person's husband like? Or what's their wife like? How are they going to behave? How faithful have they been? What's their attitude? How's this going to make an impact? How's this going to change things? I just don't say, well, yeah, sure, whatever you want. No, I've got to be prudent in those decisions. I said, someone told me this recently. He said, Brother Owens, I have never seen a transition in a church go as smoothly as this church has in the last 3 years. Let me tell you, it might be because we've tried to be prudent in matters. Prudent in matters. Using a little insight and foresight and troubleshooting and wondering what could be on the horizon and how would somebody respond or how would somebody react. Try to be careful. Try to be gentle. Try to look at how it's going to affect us. Have you ever stopped to notice when I'm about to make a change, even to the auditorium, I tell you about it 6 months in advance? Why? I want you to be ready for it. Now I'll talk about it and talk about it. I'm going to change the lights. How many times have I said I'm going to change the lights? Some of you are probably saying, I'm getting tired of you talking about changing the lights. As soon as you're so tired of it, you say, just do it. Then I'll do it. Now, sure, I could bully my way and say, I'm doing it and do it. I've not done anything like that. Nothing. Slow and easy. I learned a long time ago, you could bust up a chunk of ice with a sledgehammer or I could just let it melt slowly. I let a lot of things melt slowly. Preparation. Being prudent and cautious and careful. Oh, I'm in a hurry. There's a lot of places I want to go and I want to get there quick, but I want us to go there strongly. I want it to be done right. I want it to be solid when we get there. Oh, you can. My dad used to warn me about what he called Roman candle Christians. I mean, they have a big old buzz of excitement and sparks, but they fizzle pretty quick. I don't want to be a Roman candle preacher. I don't want to have a Roman candle church. Hey, if we grow at 200 or 300 people every year, that's okay for me. That's enough. That'll be too many before too many years. I don't know what we do with them all. But we want to be prudent and wise about what we do and how we do it. The Bible says that a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. The Bible says houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. If your wife can look ahead and see problems and help to keep problems out of your life, thank God for it. And there's a reason why God says a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. You ladies, if you don't feel like you have prudence, beg God for prudence. Beg God for prudence. There's a reason why. I think there are ladies who do not have prudence. I wonder, some men spend their lives cleaning up messes caused by their wives because their wives talk too much. I don't know how often a man has to say, honey, we don't need to talk about it. Get some prudence about you. Beg for prudence. I wonder how often a man faces that my wife's temper got out of control. Or she believes everything she hears. I mean, somebody said it at the church and she just believed it. And so it's gospel because old so-and-so said it. Listen, get some prudence about you. You're hurting yourself. Be prudent. And if you have a wife that has some insight and she's able to say, well, calm down, everything's okay, thank God for it. What a blessing if you have it, because there are some that would say, I wish I had that. I'm always straightening out messes. So you ladies, you say, what should I do? Beg God for prudence. Beg God that you would be prudent in your decisions in life. Oh, and let me say this, and I'm almost done here, but a prudent person's knowledge enables them to speak with authority. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14:18. It says, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. There it says prudent people are looked at almost as kings. They are crowned. It's a picture of authority. It's a picture of leadership. Kings have authority. When a person can get some prudence and they make decisions and they make them wisely, others look at it and say, I like that leader. I mean, there's authority there. You'll find a lack of authority when there is a lack of prudence. You'll find an abundance of authority where there is abundance of prudence. When a person foresees evil and negative and tries to help people stay away from that evil and negative, it attracts people to that prudent person. My goal here at this church is that we can avoid evil and we can avoid pitfalls. Dr. Don Smith said to me, he said, Brother Owens, I've never in my life met a man that preaches so much preventive maintenance. He said, you see it coming, and you've got us totally prepared for it by the time the storm hits. And by that time, it's not even a storm anymore because we've learned to weather it before it ever gets here. That's exactly what I want. I don't want to turn around. Every time I turn around, the devil's blindsiding us and messing up the unity in our church and messing us up. I would like to prepare us for the storm before the storm hits so we can weather the storms of life. See, that's what we're supposed to do. And by the way, husbands, that's what you're supposed to do with your family. Wives, that's what you're supposed to do with your family. Leaders, that's what we're supposed to do. We're to be prudent. We're to get the wisdom of God. And we're to look out and say, okay, how am I going to handle this? And if I do handle it that way, how's it going to affect everybody? And is it going to mess me up or mess my family up? Or what's it going to mean to me 2 weeks from now or 2 years from now or 20 years from now? Get the wisdom and the prudence that comes along with wisdom. Hey, then be careful of this. Be careful not to think you're prudent if you're not. Isaiah 5, verse 21 says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now, many of you who think you're prudent are not. You say, how do I know it? Check your record. Check your record. How many times repetitively have you struggled with the same thing? You see, if you'd like to get a little insight on how prudent you are, how many times do you face the same problem over and over and over again? There are some of you have people problems every couple of months. Sometimes you're around, you're not getting along with somebody else. You say, I just love the Lord and love the people. But every time you turn around, you're having another people problem. You think you're prudent, but you're not. Pride is controlling your thinking about you so prudence is not guiding you. Face yourself. So be careful that you don't think you're prudent when you're not. Because it's very easy for us to convince ourselves, oh, it's okay. You keep saying, what a coincidence, that happened again. Well, it's happened coincidentally so many times in a row. Maybe that's your routine in life. Maybe that's what you are. Maybe it's time for you to face that and fix it. Instead of just keep calling it a coincidence, it's always somebody else. You wouldn't believe how many people in life I found that can't get along with people. And they'll say, well, I get that person and that person and that person and that person. Sure, I've been at odds with them. You know, the only common denominator is them. But all those other people have problems. Get some insight. There are preachers that will call me and ask my... They give me the impression they're going to ask my advice, but they usually end up telling me what they're going to do. And if they don't ask, I don't tell. And they think they're being real wise the way they're handling it. But I want to talk to you about something. All they do is tell me everything they're going to do and tell me how wise they think they are and how good their decision is and say, okay. And I say, okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And their church... instead of being in a groove, it's in a rut, and they can't get anywhere. And then they call me 6 months later and tell me everything they're going to do as if they're about to ask advice and never do. And I don't advise if I'm not asked. And then they'll tell people across the country, they'll say, I talked to Brother Owens about this. What they meant was Brother Owens listened to me talk about this. Because Brother Owens didn't advise. Brother Owens heard them call and tell me everything they thought was right, and then it didn't work again, and then it didn't work again, and then it didn't work again, because they never got down to the point where they were able to ask a question and let someone answer the question to help them make the right decision. They think they're prudent, but they're not. Be careful not to think you're prudent when you're not, because the Bible says that's a possibility. What was so prudent about David? Well, David became the next king, and I think one of the reasons why David became the next king is because the Bible said he was prudent in matters. David had some insight, some foresight. He looked out and he said, you know something? I know there's more than one in Goliath's family. I'm going to pick enough stones to take care of them all. If the trouble comes, I'll be prepared for it. If it does not come, I'm still prepared for it. Become prudent in the way you make your decisions. If you will, you'll have a more satisfying life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.